Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Carolus, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Zama. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Still cold and wet. Colder and wet.
Yeah.
God is still faithful. We are still keeping warm. Thank you for asking.
Oh, man, I hope that you still keep warm. And we're getting all the cold down from down there here. But we're just keeping it in and hoping that the hour will pass off this very cold winter period, rainy season on your side. And God, of course, being with us. Thank you so much for taking our call.
It's a pleasure. And welcome also for... Greetings to the listeners as well.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Now, in 1 John 4, verse 19, the Bible says, we love because he loved us first. And we've briefly talked about the love of God, but how exactly does it impact in our ability to love one another? So what we're going to be talking about this afternoon is to actually try and dig deeper and find out how is that possible. So, Pastor, what does this scripture mean to us in our own interpersonal relationships?
We love because he first loved us means that our ability to love comes from God's love for us. As recipients of his love, we are then able to love others. In fact, the best way we can love others is by loving God first and most. Imagine that, the best way to love someone is by loving someone else more. In Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39, we read the following. Someone comes to Jesus and says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So even though Jesus says that the first one is great, and in some versions the greatest, he also says that the second is like that. It is as great as the first. You cannot have the one without the other. You cannot truly love others if we do not have a loving relationship with God. Of all the commandments of God, these two are the greatest. And I do not think that they are the greatest simply because they are the most important to obey. But more than that, they are the greatest because without them, we ourselves can never truly be happy and blessed and fulfilled. Remember yesterday we said that we were created to glorify God. And the epitome of God's love, the greatest display of his love, was at the cross. And I think the reason why love towards God is given as the first one is because the second one is impossible without the first.
Yeah, yeah.
While at the same time, the second one is the evidence of the first. In fact, we find that in 1 John 4:20, where it says, "How can we hate our brother who we see, and yet we say we love God who we have not seen?" So this is pretty much the order of Christianity if you think about things in a general sense. You take faith and works, for instance. Without works, faith is dead.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot do what pleases God without faith. So it is with the two. So and it's the same with the two greatest commandments. There is no love to God if there is no evidence of love for each other. Yet, we cannot love others if we don't first love God.
Yes, indeed, we definitely cannot. I definitely buy that. Now, is it possible for people who don't know or believe in God, to give and experience true love, since you're saying that he's a source of love?
Yeah, people who do not know or believe in God, they can love. Yesterday we spoke of different kinds of love. So they can love, but, and there is a but with this, true love, pure love, biblical love, the agape love, can only come from God. Why? Because God is that love. In 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love." So if they can love, you have to ask the question, what kind of love do those to those loved ones who do not know or believe in God.
Mm.
In Matthew 5, verse 43 to 48, Jesus tells us the difference between these two loves. He says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. So in other words, Jesus is saying, in the world, the saying goes, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So that, and here's the reason, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? So Jesus is saying, even the world, those who are in the world, and today we can even say the atheist also loves, but he only loves those who loves him. And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others?
Mm.
Do not even the Gentiles do the same? And then Jesus says, you therefore, those of us who profess to be Christians, those of us who profess to be children of God, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So, yes, they may love, but the love of the world is always a selfish love. A worldly love loves others only as it pertains to their own selves, their own desires. One could then conclude that the love of the world is to love yourself first. In fact, I think that's what we're talking about this week.
Yeah.
That is what's taught in the world today.
Mm.
You may have heard something like this before, Zama, maybe even in church, that you cannot truly love others if you do not love yourself first. Well, today God is showing us through Scripture that that is a worldly saying. Biblically, we cannot truly love others if we do not first love God.
Mm.
And to say it even more pertinently, we can only love this if we love God most.
Yeah, if we love God the most. And so those who are not Christian and are not practicing at all in any form of Christianity, it's just another form of love. It's not genuine love. It's not agape.
Well, if it's not of God, then it's not the true love. It's not the love that we are talking about today. It is a love, and let's not get things wrong, or let's not take it too far, because there are those, according to the book of Romans, chapter 2, who do the best they can with the knowledge that they have. But I'm sure that everyone listening to us today has a knowledge or has a desire to be biblical, to be Christian, has a desire to be followers of God. And if that is the case, then we cannot love with the love of the world. We can only truly love if that love comes from God. And how do we do that? We started off with the verse by saying, 1 John 4, verse 19, that we love because he first loved us.
Mm.
So the better saying to go with is, I can truly only love someone else if I have experienced the love of God. It's the same with forgiveness, Zama, and forgiveness and love normally goes together. In fact, when you think of the parallel scripture in the book of Luke, when it comes to the Sermon on the Mount that we just read about being perfect, Luke does not say, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Luke says, be merciful as your Father is merciful. So the same with forgiveness. Many people say you can only truly forgive others if you first forgive yourself.
Mm.
Well, the Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches that we are only able to forgive others when we have experienced the forgiveness of God. We pray that even in the Lord's Prayer. We say, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have trespassed against us, who are debtors. Yes.
Mm. Beautiful, beautiful, Pastor. Thank you so much. Now, is it even possible for us to love one another as Christ loved us? I mean, are we expected to be willing to die for one another like he did for us?
Well, the Bible says that the greatest love that can ever be loved is for a man to lay down his life for another. I'm going to answer the first part of that question first, which speaks about our ability. Can we? And we have just read in Matthew 5 that we should love perfectly, like the Father loves perfectly. In John 13, verse 34, Jesus sets the bar and standard to love very high. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And then he says, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. The question that you have is, can this be done? And the only answer biblically for a question like that for me is Matthew 19, verse 26. Jesus, looking at them, said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. There is something we need to understand about God's commandments. In the book Education, page 126, we read that every command is also a promise. And in the book Christ Object Lessons, we read the same thought. All God's biddings are enabling. This means that whatever God says will be, whatever he says to be, will be. if we let it. The power is in the word of God, you see. The power to do anything that God says is not in ourselves, not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. The power is in the word. Jesus says, the words that I speak to you are life and spirit. In the same way that God created light by saying the words, let there be light, and there was light, he can speak the words of life into our lives if we let him. And that is the key. We must surrender to the power of God's word. We must let him be in our lives. We must live by every word that proceeds from his mouth. And you know what, I would love to speak more on this specific subject, but for today, know that while things are impossible with man, they are possible with God and from God and in God. And regarding the second part of your question, the answer is yes and no. Are we required to die like Jesus died? The answer is yes and no. God does expect us to die for others. In fact, we cannot love if we don't die for others. We are to die to self and selfishness. In order for us to truly love like Christ loved, we must die to self and selfishness. We are not required to die the physical death of Christ for others, but the self-sacrificial mind of Christ, the attitude of Christ, the character of Christ should also be in us, Paul says in Philippians 2 verse 5. And the only way this can happen in us and through us is if we feast and meditate on the life that Christ lived by feasting and meditating on the word that recorded that life. One of my favorite quotes that has helped and still helps me with this is found in a book called Desire of Ages, page 83. It would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day in contemplation of the life of Christ. We should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing ones. Now listen to what happens when we do this. When we read each day about God, about Christ's life here on earth, especially the closing ones. As we thus dwell upon his great sacrifice for us, our confidence, not in ourselves, but our confidence in him will be more constant. Our love will be quickened, and we shall be more deeply imbued with his spirit. If we would be saved at last, so this is not just a command but that we must strive. No, this is something that has to happen for our own salvation as well. If we would be saved at last, we must learn the lesson of penitence and humiliation at the foot of the cross.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Pastor Carolus, I must say that it's been a beautiful conversation once again this afternoon. We're going to be wrapping it up there. Any last word you'd like to leave with the listeners?
I'll just like to reiterate Matthew 19, verse 20. Do not despair, friends. With God, all things are possible. Surrender to Him. Surrender to His Word. And let Him be in your life. God bless.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. We're speaking to you again tomorrow, same time and the same place.
Looking forward, Zama. God spares us.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.